Morning, beloveds of God. Let's pray together before we start. Gracious God, you know what it is that each of us needs. You know what we carry with us into this time. Those things that we carry that are heavy. Those that we carry that are light. The joys and concerns of our days. We thank you that you are not ignorant to us, but that you know us and our reality very closely. And we ask that as we spend time asking questions of the teachings of Jesus and of the text of their scriptures, that the Holy Spirit might teach us in this community what it means to live. We love you, God. We ask that you would make us more like you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As your pastor, I think that it's important that we are honest with each other. And I'm going to admit to you this morning that I have flaws. Now, that might be shocking to some of you, maybe less shocking to others of you, but it's true. I have traits and things that I do that are not even like ideal sometimes. These flaws, these elements of who I am, are not things that disqualify me from my faith. They're not unforgivable sins. They're just realities that I continue to understand and address in my own life. Sometimes these realities of my own self fight against the goals that I have for my life. Goals of contentment and peace, of a good and beautiful and flourishing kind of life. They can challenge my desires for my life, taking up my time and my energy and my resources. They endanger my own abundance. And some of the things that threaten my abundant life might be my own ambition, which, if left unchecked, could thoroughly be the spend of all of my energy trying to gain greater influence. I would say my own drive to stay busy is a threat to a full and flourishing life. Sometimes it feels like I fill up my hours as if they'll die if I don't put something in them. My desire for autonomy can be really good until it causes me to isolate myself, separate myself from other people. Some of the things, however, that threaten my desired full life are outside threats. This would be issues that weigh heavy on my mind and my heart. The economy and all of its chaos, the challenges of climate change, the instability of the governments of the world, it seems every other day there's something going wrong, the unchecked violence here in our own country, the mental health challenges of those that I love, the physical illnesses that threaten the bodies of those who matter to me. And sometimes these things are so present in my mind that it feels like I can't run away from them. It can be challenging as a person to be internally at war. I know the life that I want to live, the mindsets I wish to have, the way I want to approach the world. I desire abundance, meaning a life that has more than enough, physically, spiritually, emotionally, overflowing with God's gifts, never lacking any good thing. But I also know that the realities of my own life crowd that out sometimes, to the point where I can't always see it, can't always imagine what it looks like. When there's so much to deal with, a life where we can live in abundance feels at times unattainable. Now, I'm certainly not telling you anything new. Maybe you weren't completely sure I had flaws, but the rest of it is familiar, right? In our lives, there are so many things that threaten our full lives, things that prevent us from living in full abundance. Maybe you think I'm turning into a televangelist, but it's true. Many things, inside and out, wish to keep us from flourishing and receiving the full abundance of God's glory and love. Our inside threats come from our personal challenges. Maybe it's your own bias that tends to cut you off from interacting with certain groups or people. Maybe it's greed for money or time, making you stingy towards others. It could be jealousy that drives you to wish for the things that others have. It might be fear that chokes us out as we cycle through every worst-case scenario. Our outside threats are wide-ranging. The financial stresses of a too quickly rising inflation rate. Social challenges making us feel cut off from our friends. Issues of stability, where we feel like we can't quite get ahead of all the bills that get delivered. Loneliness, leaving us disconnected from other people, even when we're in a crowd. We're going to read today from the book of John, chapter 10, 7 through 10, and we're going to see what Jesus has to teach us about the possibility of a life that is freed from all of these things, a life of abundance that's just at our fingertips. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is offering this teaching to a crowd, many of whom had been following him around since the day before when he healed a blind man. Some of them were his followers, as would naturally be with him. Some of them were local Jews or visiting Gentiles, and some of them were religious leaders. In this section of teaching in John 10, Jesus uses several images to describe himself, including the good shepherd and the gate for the sheep. We also hear images that he uses to describe the rest of us, the listeners and we ourselves, calling us sheep. Those sheep who are threatened by those who would harm them, those who seek to kill and destroy, those who lead them astray, those who are abandoning those sheep. Jesus, however, expresses his intentional closeness to the sheep and demonstrates in his two images what he does, how he serves the sheep, the way that he provides for them and leads them according to their own need. The promise made in this portion of Jesus' teaching is pretty clear. Others, those who came before, were not the true protector of the sheep. Some of them came to threaten or even injure those sheep. Jesus, in contrast, is the true gate, providing a safe place for the sheep. In doing this, Jesus says that he came in order that the sheep, all of God's people, would have abundant life. We might struggle with this phrase. It's not one we use regularly. And most of us aren't really sure what that looks like. What is an abundant life? Well, let's ask the text. Jesus speaks and describes his work in caring for the sheep as the gate for the sheep. In this description, he also uses three phrases to explain what it means that he serves as the gate and what there is to gain from his role. He says to the crowd, "Whoever enters by me will be saved, and they will be able to come in and to go out and to find pasture." So he uses this phrase to come in. And in doing that, we see Jesus identifying himself as the source of safety for the sheep. If Jesus is the gate for this cosmic sheep pen, then to be in the care of God is to be secure, safe from external threats, within the bounds of security. The gate exists not as like a freestanding building element, like those art pieces where you put a door in the middle of a field with nothing around it. The gate is attached to a wall. It's not by itself, but exists as a space of safety for the sheep. It offers the sheep something that they can't provide for themselves. Jesus serving as the gate for the sheep means that there is trust between Jesus and those who are protected. Then he uses this wording of go out, meaning not to strictly spend time in that fenced-in pen. We, as foolish sheep as we might be, are not just relegated to a place of safety. God does not lock us in as soon as the gate is closed behind us. We are offered the opportunity to explore the largeness of the world. There's also a secondary promise kind of hidden in this statement. Because if you know anything about animals, and particularly sheep, if you put a bunch of sheep in a pen, they're going to run out of food really quick. There's only so fast that grass can grow to feed those sheep. But with a gate that also lets us out, there is the promise of abundant fields, more than enough, more than sufficient for the sheep. We could not exhaust our resources as we might if we were only in the safety space. Jesus is affirming this abundance, that we would not go hungry physically, spiritually, that we would not go without what we need. To go out, in this case, is to live in the larger world of God, but out of God's abundance. Lastly, Jesus tells the crowd that they will find pasture. Because of Jesus' protection and the abundance that is offered, those sheep can go out and find other places of abundance and safety. These pastures are spaces where they find those same things that they've been offered by God, but in community with others. This other offered reality is only possible because of the extravagant generosity of God. And because of the safety that is offered in the pen, could we imagine that there would be something else? Without other people who also know of this abundant life, who have experienced the safety of God, it would be much easier for us, the sheep, to forget, to allow ourselves to be harmed by the external threats, to wander because of our own internal threats. To step away from that abundance would be much easier without others, but we are guaranteed the community of people to keep us accountable to this abundant life. We can be encouraged we will not immediately fall into scarcity, into stinginess, into fear, but strengthened as a whole within the community of God. Our role as we consider these invitations Jesus gives us is to do these three things: to come in to the assurance of God's full protection, to go out to live in the world out of God's abundance, and to find pasture within the community of God. But we also have a quieter invitation, one that lies underneath these three things, which is to learn to recognize the voice of the one who protects in contrast to the voice of the one who threatens. In a portion of the chapter that we didn't read, Jesus refers to the sheep as those who know the voice of the shepherd. And knowing the difference between these two voices is necessary for the sheep to survive. So how do we do that when, for the most part, God doesn't speak to us audibly, discernibly? Well, we can start by identifying what the Spirit of God does not sound like. By recognizing the voice of God, both what it is and what it is not, we can begin to say yes to the invitations of God, which, of course, is that abundant life that we're seeking. God's voice is not a voice of fear. When you feel fear, when you feel it making you choose to hide your insecurities, hide yourself, hide your anxieties, hide your sin, know that that voice is not the voice of God. When you feel fear crashing over you, shouting in your mind all of the problems of the world and your smallness to do a thing about it, know that that is not the voice of your shepherd. God's voice in our life is not a voice of scarcity. This whole section in the Gospel of John is trying to make this point really clearly. So in your own mind, the voice that tells you you don't have enough, or maybe that you have just enough but you won't later, that you should only watch after your people, that voice is not the voice of God. God who offers us more and beyond even our wildest imaginations. Our energy, we often consider it scarce. And it's true. Everything in our world, time, money, energy, it's all finite, except for our God, who has more than enough to offer us. And so if God is calling you to something, if God is inviting you to something, there will be more than enough of what you need to see that through. God's voice in our life is not a voice of shame. When we consider the messages of shame that are all around us, shaming us for our naivety to love one another, shaming us for our openness to the love of God, shaming us for our decisions, for our joy, we can be certain that is not God's voice. When we feel insecure, shamed for our bodies, shamed for our lifestyles, shamed for our lack of ambition, shamed for our own inner peace, those are not the words of God. That is not the voice of God. God gives us a community that should bring us to greater humility, yes, but never to a place of shame. God's voice in our life is not a voice of isolation. When you hear in your head that voice telling you you're better off alone, better off without others close by, when you feel that other people might be burdened by your presence and that they resent you for asking too much, when you're tempted to believe that it would be safer not to risk the vulnerability of closeness, that is not God's voice. Isolation is a tool of control used by the evil one. And God instead offers us other people built into the system that we might have support in community as we seek abundance together. God's voice in our life does not rush us. It does not push us. God certainly has things that God asks of us, things that are not negotiable in our faith. But these are not rigid requirements enforced by a heavy-handed dictator. God does not hurry us, invites us instead. Sometimes maybe you feel a bit like God is pushing you, but God's voice is a call, a draw. It is one that compels us, even when we don't understand it, even when we don't know all of what it means. Abundance means safety. And abundance offers us the joyous gift of God, not one that is forced on us, not one that is coerced, but rather offered with an open hand, a welcome to the fullness of life. To come in and to go out and to find pasture is the natural pattern for sheep. It's also their safest life, the best interest for them to spend time out of their environment, to have a place of security, to be with like-minded creatures. It's also true for us. To come in and to go out and to find pasture is the best of lives that we could live. It reflects our intended purpose. To follow these invitations God gives us is in our best interest, and it allows us to live our fullest lives, one where we have more than enough. Jesus' three invitations are impossible for us to follow if we do not know how to recognize Jesus' voice. When we do know the voice of God, however, we can be led in safety, in freedom, in community, which is that promised life of abundance.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these podcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.